To-do lists. They can be very helpful at certain times of year, especially such as the nearing of the end of the school term. Finish report, take makeup test, empty out locker, find invitations. Such activities of a purely temporal and earthly nature tend to be added rather rapidly to our to-do lists and often fill them up. And there's nothing wrong with that. We all have responsibilities for which we need to focus our attention, and the writing of certain things down can help us try to get them done. What's unfortunate, however, is when the placing of such activities as these tends to crowd out and exclude activities from our to-do list that are of far greater significance, activities that have spiritual and eternal ramifications. So, our Lord, who truly knows how to get things done and to get things done very well, has written some to-do lists for us, his people, which sets forth activities that do achieve the greatest good. And I plan this morning to highlight just one of the items on the Lord's to-do lists, one which is to be a priority in the living of the Christian life. Actually, I have a few biblical lists in mind, each one of which begins and ends with the very same item and directive. You're asked to open your hymnals to pages 156 and 157 in the front part of the hymnals, the psalm sections. On those pages, you'll see that the very first item on the divine to-do list, which is known as Psalm 146, is praise ye the Lord. The last item on that very same list is praise ye the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 1 reads, praise ye the Lord. And its last verse directs, praise ye the Lord. The first verse of Psalm 148, praise ye the Lord. The last verse of Psalm 148, praise ye the Lord. If Psalm 149 had been included by the editors of our hymnal, that also begins with praise ye the Lord and ends in the same way. And of course, the concluding psalm of the entire collection of psalms begins with praise ye the Lord, and the last words of the entire book of Psalms, praise ye the Lord. Clearly, the praise of the Lord is to be front and center, first and last. But for whom is that to be the case? For what reason are we to praise? When and how and where is that praise to take place? Well, succinct Psalm 150 provides the answers. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If it breathes, it has been blessed. If it breathes, it has been created and therefore is obligated to give the Creator praise and thanks, honor and glory. Notice near the end of Psalm 149 how even the animal kingdom is not exempt. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Let them praise the name of the Lord. And if animals, how much more we human beings? But why? Why are we to offer daily praise? For the same reason that anyone ever lauds or applauds someone else, when praise is deserving for some activity that goes above and beyond. And certainly God is the one who deserves more than anyone else. Notice how the psalmist stacks up lofty words in Psalm 150 to underscore the point, speaking of God's mighty acts as well as his excellent greatness. We truly are surrounded. The mighty acts of God are in evidence every single day, from the rising of the sun to the ordering of nature, to the providing of our food, to the keeping of the peace. The one who has given us breath surrounds us with things that should take our breath away. They're so amazing. But even greater than those things to which we are so accustomed on a daily basis is the mighty act which he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. For there he took on the foes of sin and death and stripped them of their treacherous power. It was a strange and dreadful strife, wrote hymn writer Luther, when life and death contended. The victory remained with life. The reign of death was ended. Holy Scripture plainly saith that death is swallowed up by death. His sting is lost forever. Hallelujah. That is, praise the Lord. No other reason is needed. No greater reason could be given for praising the Lord than that which is found in his conquering of death on our behalf. So then, where? Where should this praise be sounded? Simply, everywhere. Psalm 150 starts by speaking of praising God in his sanctuary, which is initially perhaps a reference to the temple. Certainly it's appropriate for us to be thinking about praising God as we congregate as believers in the house of the Lord. But the psalm also speaks of the entire firmament, the heavens, the great expanse of the sky. We should at all times and in all places give thanks to God and also praise him for all that he has done for us. How should this be done? It's possible, I suppose, that there's a Christian who's perfectly willing to praise the Lord and wants to do so, but doesn't quite know how to go about doing so. But it's really as simple as opening one's mouth and letting one's faith speak. Praising is primarily offered in verbal form. Miriam, Hannah, David, Mary, they all opened their mouths. They enumerated the various things that they had experienced, the various blessings which God had showered upon them. And an easy springboard for us to use in getting started in the praise of the Lord is found in the various psalms, such as Psalm 146 on these same pages. Watch how easy praise becomes when we simply take the words that God has given to us and offer them back to him. By simply replacing the words "the Lord" and "which" with the word "you," we have, "You made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is therein. You keep truth forever. You execute judgment for the oppressed. You give food to the hungry. You free the prisoners. You open the eyes of the blind. You raise those that are bowed down. You love the righteous." And from there it easily flows. Most often, perhaps, such words of praise are combined with music and sung, which is also very much in keeping with the will of the Savior. Throughout the book of Psalms are directives such as "sing to the Lord" and "make a joyful noise to him." The first verse of Psalm 147, for example, says, "Praise ye the Lord. It is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely," that is, beautiful. The human voice is the most amazing musical instrument ever designed by the Lord. It has the unique capability of combining words with pitch and rhythm, bringing it all together in one presentation. But it's certainly not the only musical instrument that can be used, a point well established by this same psalm. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. When the heart of a believer is behind the playing of an instrument, and when the playing is done to the glory of music's maker, then he is praised and glorified also by music that has no words, which, as I understand, is a primary reason for our band directors to be upping and encouraging and advancing the band program, desiring and hoping to offer additional opportunities for you to develop your playing, praising skills also in that way. To-do lists, they're helpful, especially when they are written by God for his people, and that which tops his list is praise. Having given us more than enough reason to praise him, he's even given us his Holy Spirit to enable us to praise him, all for our own good, for the strengthening of our faith, the comforting of our hearts. It's a great thing the Lord has given us to do today. And so we join in the singing of hymn 41, the first three stanzas, hymn 41, stanzas 1 through 3.